Good evening, everyone. And it's Friday night, which can only mean one thing. It's countdown to kickoff. We are previewing Huddersfield Town this week after, well, pretty much a disastrous week for Peterborough United, Exeter and Leyton Orient, two losses back to back. The only thing that I'm interested from you, Harry, in, obviously, there was major head loss on Tuesday night's recording over Fergie. What's your stance?
I am, unlike all the other hosts, still Fergie in and still firmly Fergie in. And I thought it was a really good episode to listen to, and I really enjoyed listening back, and I can completely sympathise with everyone, really. And it's not often, in fact, can I even think of an example where Fergie's turned around form? I suppose you might be able to argue 12-13 when we lost seven, the first seven in a row, and then did actually got more points than the season before. So I appreciate that he doesn't, once he gets into the rut, he rarely gets out. With that being said, I still think that with 16 new players, he absolutely should be given the opportunity to turn them into the team that he wants. The 23-24 squad was his, and I appreciate some of it was inherited from Grant McCann, and it was clearly perfection in terms of his how he wants to play football and his style. It was out of his control how much of them he lost. And I'm not convinced that he was the one knocking on Dara's door saying, I really want these two guys from Sweden, right? I think that we've gone through a period of Fergie not having quality signings. And I think I'm really encouraged by what happened on deadline day. We can get into that in a minute if we want to. But I think he deserves a lot longer, months, in fact, to try and turn this around. I would not be looking to sack him until the earliest, the beginning of the January transfer window. And let's hope that this starts the turnaround tomorrow, even though I don't actually think it will be the start of the turnaround, but here's hoping.
Yeah, look, let's get ahead to tomorrow. I'm going to bring in Ryan, who is from Huddersfield Town Fan TV. Thank you for joining us, Ryan. How are you?
No worries, mate. Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And yes, doing well. Hope you're well yourself. And yeah, let's see what happened this weekend, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you've had a little bit of a mixed batch this to the start of the season. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I mean, look, at home, we've been absolutely fine. You know what I mean? 100% home record. We haven't conceded a goal at home yet either. And it's still early on, but we've still got that record intact. Just our away form, the last two away games that we've had have both ended in defeats. And yes, very worrying for us to see that. So I think the Blackpool game, especially a couple of weeks back, was the one that really annoyed me the most. So last week, and it was still annoying, but the Blackpool game, yeah, not good. But yeah, a bit of a mixed bag. Four wins, two losses. I would have liked to have had a couple more points at this stage, but we've still started the season strongly, but yeah.
I know it's not a massive sample size to go off, Ryan, but is there much of a difference in style in the way you play between home and away?
No, I wouldn't say so. I just think at home, we seem to be, obviously, when we're obviously at home, it's just we see, you know what I mean? We just seem more comfortable at home, you know, where even though we did win our first away game against Reading. The previous two have been different. I just think we've started off slowly in these away games that we've had recently, and that's ultimately cost us. So I don't see any difference in style. I just think we haven't been able to find the rhythm quick enough in these matches, last couple of games. And I just think, you know what I mean? Yeah, we just haven't looked comfortable. So I'm not sure why that's kind of happened.
Ryan, obviously, new manager this summer for you guys. He has pretty much hit the ground running, hasn't he? Bringing in a new style of play as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was a big, big call to bring Lee Grant in when we did, you know what I mean? I know, obviously, he's learned under Kieran McKenna before he came here and things like that. So, but yeah, look, the recruitment, look, he's had full control of all the players he's brought in. We haven't got a sporting director, you see, so he's had all control of every player he's brought in. I think I've just gained more and more confidence, especially over the summer with the players that he was bringing in. I just love the way he comes across, and everything. He's such a good communicator, and Yeah, just such a great guy, really. But yeah, obviously on the pitch as well, the results have followed, which is the most important thing ultimately. And there's obviously a few things that need ironing out a little bit. But overall, I mean, I'm just so, so happy that we went down that route of... Because we kind of hit a crossroads in the summer. We needed a massive rebuild as a football club. And, you know, we were promised that previously and we didn't get it. And this summer, we've really and truly had that massive rebuild. And, you know, Lee Grant was a big part of that. And he's come in and, yeah, just done very, very well for us, really. So I couldn't be happier. But, yeah, we've just got to keep going with it now. But I think the foundations, he's laid the foundations. He's started to change that culture within the club that has just been rotting away for far too long in previous years. And he's started to create a more positive environment. You know what I mean? The atmosphere is a lot more uplifting now, even before the season began. You know, a lot of people were excited about because of the players we were signing and stuff and how Lee Grant had kind of done all that himself, really. And you know what I mean? And yeah, he's, I just think everybody was happy. And yeah, it's just got better and better. So a lot better. And he's a big part in that, why it's like this.
Yeah, do you know, I watched the interview that he did with your media team on your YouTube channel, and it was so clear that he's part of like that new school of manager, isn't he? Similar to, obviously, he's learned from McKenna, Michael Carrick, Lampard. They all talk very well, and it's clear to see already that he is well-respected in the dressing room. He's obviously managed to get some of his players in, and ultimately changing fortune. If I remember back to when we came up the last time, was it, well, am I right in saying he hadn't scored a goal at home in like 6 or 7 games?
Oh, look, I mean, I can't remember, but last season was just shocking. So I'd kind of checked out very early on in that season. I just knew it was going to be a disaster. So, yeah, I don't know, but we were struggling to score goals for sure last season. But yeah, look, just very happy, you know, the media duties. Look, I was very kind of, you know, when I saw that first interview he did, we've had it before with managers where they've said they're going to do things and they're going to do that. But he's come in, he said that interview and then he's backed it up. And that's where, so I kind of had to take what he said first off with a pinch of salt, Lee Grant's first interview with the club. But yeah, he's well and truly backed it up now. And yeah, just really clear, open with the fans. We haven't had that for a while. I've struggled to connect with many of our previous managers. But this guy really connected with him, you know what I mean? And, you know, I like him, you know what I mean? You know, you feel like you can't connect with a manager, and now Lee Grant has come in and I've really warmed to him. And yeah, just like the way he is on and off, you know, the way he conducts himself and the way ultimately he's just created that more positive environment for the foundations to start. And obviously we've done very well so far this season. So I couldn't be happy with it, but we just need to keep, it's about consistency. It's a long season, isn't it? As we know.
So he's put his stamp on the team already with several first team, starting 11 signings. Yeah. Just, you know, reading through them, Alfie May, Ryan Ledson, Lyndon Gooch, all guys with, you know, if not top level League One experience, or rather, if not Championship experience, top level League One experience, who's been the most exciting so far of the new crop?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Look, I've been really, really happy with all of them. Let's just put that there first. But I think if I had to pick one, I'd probably say Lyndon Gooch has made the biggest impact so far for me. I think he has recently just won our August Player of the Month award. He played in all the games in August, and he's just brilliant. You know, what he is, he's a very attacking player, but also he's good at defending as well. And we, as a fan base, we've taken to him very well. I think I think probably a close second has to be Alfie May, who is just a proven goal scorer, quality player. And so, yeah, I think if I had to pick, I'd have to pick those two, really. But every player that's come in, I feel like they've really contributed already this season. And yeah, really, really good.
Ryan, one man you didn't mention was somebody that scored from the penalty spot midweek, Marcus Harness. He's obviously followed Grant across from Ipswich, hasn't he? And then come to you guys.
Yeah.
He's clearly a very good footballer. What sort of impact has he had on the team so far, bringing in experience for, I think, Am I right in saying that tomorrow, if he plays, 400th EFL yeah. appearance?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, look, I think he's done some good things. Obviously, yeah, maybe a bit of a slower start, but yeah, his experience. You know what I mean? He offers us that out on the wing, and yeah, you know what I mean, I do feel like there's more in there. Obviously, I know he scored, you know, in midweek, but I feel like there's more in there from him so far. But I've liked bits of what he's done. But yeah, experience. You know, it's important to have that experience in there. He seems like he's a player that will, you know, won't get his head down if it's not going his way. You know what I mean? He'll keep going. So yeah, really, really good to what he's done so far.
So can you give us the inside scoop? I mean, if I look on BBC Sport, it looks like it's been a 4-2-3-1. Is that right? What's the what can we expect from Huddersfield tomorrow, formation or style wise?
Yeah, obviously, yeah, it is the 4-2-3-1. Grant loves that one. He's not changed really from that. You know what I mean? And yeah, clearly that is what we're gonna go with tomorrow. In terms of style, yeah, I mean, look, we love to play out from the back a lot. For me, too much at times. But we're very much a team from what we've seen, you know, when we've been on it, we, you know, we're very one touch kind of football, you know, front foot and kind of style of play. When we're not quite at it, it can be quite slow, pedestrian, you know, messing around too much at the back. But overall, if I could kind of give you a style of player that we go with, I think, yeah, it's definitely front foot attacking. And but I think the foundation is from the back as well. How I know we've conceded quite a number of goals away from home recently, but I think at home we've looked very, very solid. So I think the foundation start at the back, but certainly more attacking from what we've seen previously under Duff last season, for sure.
Right, you've obviously mentioned lots of quality attacking players. The one position that obviously there's not so many questions about because he decided to kung fu kick McGoldrick last week is the goalkeeper. I watched a couple of the games back, and even midweek, it looked like the goalie that came in. Is that the goalie that's going to start tomorrow?
Yeah, Nichols will start, yeah, the game tomorrow, yeah.
Is I noticed that your goalkeepers, especially in the Barnsley and then against Newcastle under 21s, they look like if you had a shot that they struggled to hold on to the ball. Is that a fair comment, do you think, or not so much?
Yeah, look, I think for me, Lee Nichols has not been the same for a while now. I think I don't really trust him. I don't trust him, like you say. He's not very secure with the ball. His distribution can be poor at times as well. It seems to kind of be, you know, the fact that we do play out from the back as well quite a lot. You know, I mean, if you put us under pressure, I think he sometimes panics a little bit too much. I agree with that analysis of him. I don't really think he's been a fantastic keeper for us. You know what I mean? He, you know, came in, you know, when he did, and he did very well. And he was our number one for a while, and he just dropped off last season. If you look at how last season panned out, how he was kind of, you know, got dropped. Obviously, Chapman came in, then he got his way back in. But neither keeper last season really secured that number one jersey. Whereas Goodman has come in this season on loan from Crystal Palace, of course. And I like him. I think he did very well with Wimbledon last season, obviously on loan. You know, the amount of clean sheets he had last season for them. And I think he's good. But I just think that game last weekend, I just think that just shows maybe he's lack of maturity maybe in that game. I'm sure he's learned a lot from last weekend, but he just had one of those nightmare 36 minutes before he got sent off. Because like I said, the first, if you, I don't know if you see the goals from last weekend, but the first goal was down to him as well. You know, he literally he didn't secure the ball and it was, you know, put it on the player.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly the point, Ryan, that I was making. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me,
I mean, if you need a goalkeeper, we can give you Bilo back. He's great at catching the ball. He's great at distributing the ball with his feet. He sounds like he'd be a perfect fit for Lee Grant. Obviously, he's got a manager that's a goalkeeper, basically. So if you ever need a goalkeeper back, by all means, we've got one ready to give back to you.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, I mean, I was a bit sad when he went, actually, you know, when he first departed. I thought I was quite surprised at the time when we let him go, to be honest with you, because I thought maybe he would, stay with us a little bit more. But no, look, I think that we need to get through the next few games and that's it, because I don't really see Nichols securing that number one spot. And it is a worry going into tomorrow, because I just, you know, if you do manage to get some balls into the box or whatever and cause a few issues, then how's the goalkeeper going to do? He did well in the penalty shoot. He's a good penalty shootout keeper, by the way. He's just overall, I have my concerns about him. So, yeah, he saved in the cup games that we've had in the Carabao Cup. But, yeah, I just don't trust him overall.
Well, Posh only had 2 league goals this season, and one of them was a penalty, Ryan. So, you know... He might be the best placed man for Saturday, if that's the best we can do. On the subject of Town players who may or may not be over the hill, we obviously signed Tom Lees on a free this summer. We've actually might be able to say more than me, but we've not seen a lot of him yet. Is it fair to say he'd lost a yard of pace before he left? I've got a mate who's a Huddersfield fan, and he suggested that Tom Lees is probably coming to the end of his shelf life. Was that fair? Do you still think there's a good footballer in there, or at least a good defender in there?
Well, I mean, I have very much... It's very hard to speak about these players in a good light, the players that left us over the summer, because I just think they let us down so badly. You know, Lees... Yeah, look, I think it's fair to say he's coming to the end of his career now, really. I think his pace, I just think... Overall, defensively, I just don't think he's a very good... I think he's just really... He's just not a very good defender. That's how I see it. I think he did some good stuff for us, but far too many times he was just so poor. So, yeah, I wasn't unhappy to see the back of these players that were released. And Tom Lees, unfortunately, was one of those that I was happy to see the back of. So, yeah.
Ryan, I think that just for Posh fans that are heading up to Huddersfield tomorrow, obviously train station's closed, isn't it? What sort of things are there to do around the ground? A parking, the best option is the Gasworks car park, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, probably if you want to get close to the ground, yeah, probably the Gasworks. In terms of around the ground, obviously we've got a little fan zone down at the ground. Obviously, welcome away fans in there, you know what I mean? And, you know, plenty of things to food, you know, to eat and drink around there as well. And it's a nice atmosphere before the game as well. And obviously, you know, away fans always are welcomed in, so there's no problem there at all. But so yeah, there's a few other kind of places if you want to go a bit. There's like a retail part just off the stadium where there's a few places to eat there. But yeah, it's always quite lively before kickoff and plenty of choice to eat and you know, and drink as well. So that's kind of where we're at, yeah.
Ryan, one man that I would be silly not to ask about is Joe Taylor. Obviously, he was another one that was at Posh for a little while. What part is he playing in your team at the moment? And is he going to score against us tomorrow and come in front of the away end and shush us?
I mean, look, Joe Taylor has... We obviously, when we signed him last in January, you know, in the last season, I think so he came in not much football, then he got injured and he couldn't really find his feet really. But this season, he looks a lot sharper, a lot fitter. He's kind of been playing second fiddle to me at the moment, unfortunately, though. Sometimes they've played together, sometimes they've kind of put either, I think they've kind of like put me, not me, but Taylor on the wing. Which he's all right at, but again, just not ideal. He's not his position really. He scored a couple of, he's certainly picked up recently as well, Taylor, 3 goals in his last 2 games. So I think he will score tomorrow. In terms of if he will shush you, I don't know. I don't think he will, to be honest with you. I think he'll just, I don't think he will. I think he's, I don't know, I could be wrong.
Ryan, I think he will, and I think that his family members will be straight on Twitter as well when he scores.
There were some quite unsavoury things said about one of his League Cup performances, and I know for a fact that his family saw it and were very unhappy with it, and he was gone from the club not long after that. So, as I say, I'm with Ashley. If he scores, I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe a hand to the ear, maybe a double... double cup.
If he's down the other end, it might end up being an Adebayor-esque run full length of the pitch and then knee slide in front of the away end, potentially.
But we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully he doesn't score. On that question of scoring and predictions of what's going to happen tomorrow, Ryan, we always ask the fans who come on for their prediction for the game and their first, in your instance, first Huddersfield Town goal scorer, if you have one.
Yeah, so I'm going for my prediction, sorry. I'm going to say my prediction, then my first
goal. Yeah, your score, yeah, and your goal.
Yeah, for me, I think I have to back my team because I just think that we are at home, 100% record, and I think if we weren't to win tomorrow, I'd be very, very upset about that, really, especially with the way you started. So, yeah, I'm actually going to go for a comfortable win for us. I'm going 3-0 to us. And my first goal scorer, I'm not just saying it, but I think it depends if he starts or not, because I don't know if he'll bring May back in, but I think Taylor is going to score first if he starts. If he doesn't, then I'll go for May. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I'll allow you to have two. And then if Taylor doesn't start, then I'll put Alfie May in as your prediction for our prediction league result. But Ryan, thank you very much for joining us this evening. You've been a great guest. Last week when we had Exeter, we had Brad on and he gave us a bucket full of confidence. And then we lost 3-0. So fingers crossed your confidence actually means that Posh might get a result. But thank you again for joining us, Ryan, and hopefully some Posh fans. Whereabouts do you sit in the ground?
I sit in the Kilner Bank, which is, as the away fans are, I'm to the right of you in that stand there. So yeah, I'm to the right of you, like right on the centre circle, a few rows up. So yeah, so I'm not near the away fans. I won't be in the cow shed, which is obviously right next to the away fans, which can get a bit tasty sometimes, but thank you very much for having me, by the way. I really enjoyed it, and yes, let's see what happens, but yeah, thanks for inviting me on.
No problem, thank you very much, Ryan.
Cheers, Ryan.
Take care, see you. Bye.
All right, well, before we get our home fan on, just to shout out, this episode is sponsored by Elite Lawn Maintenance. They are there to help you with your lawn. They could also do gutter cleaning with their pretty high spec equipment that they've got to do that gutter cleaning. The service areas all around Peterborough, whether it be Werrington or Wisbeach, Market Deeping. If you've got a lawn and you need some work doing, give them a shout.
Ollie, good evening. Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, well, I am. And obviously, we had a chat, didn't we, Tuesday night? We'll go on to that a little bit later on. Yeah. What I want to hear from you first is, tell me about the season so far from your perspective.
Well, obviously, the results ain't been great, but there's not really been a game where I think we've played awfully. I think we've been all right, and you've seen like good parts of games where we've been okay. Obviously, a lot of new players coming in. I think we just need to give it a bit of time. Obviously, there's a lot of new players and just a lot happening. I think give it a bit of time, we may be able to see a few results.
Ollie, obviously, we mentioned before we added Ryan in about the Fergie in-out-a-meter. What are your thoughts on Fergie? Obviously, you're saying that you're happy to give it time there. You're happy to give Fergie time as well?
I think give him probably a couple more months. Let the players settle in and then look at it again. I mean, it all depends who we get in, because if we sack Fergie and go back to an ex-manager, then what's the point? But I think, yeah, give him a bit more time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the second coming of Steve Evans, which seems inevitable at some point.
Yeah.
Are you making the trip up tomorrow, Ollie?
No, unfortunately not. I'm at work, so I can't, unfortunately.
Are you at work right now? It looks like you're at work.
Yeah, I'm in my manager's office, actually.
Nice. Well, appreciate you coming on. Have you been to many games this season?
Yeah, so I went Cardiff away first game, and then I've been all the home games since as well.
Yeah, it's I took some comfort from both the Barnsley and Bradford games, but the new players have come in. They really need to step up. You hoping some of them start tomorrow? Some of the guys we signed on deadline day.
Yeah, it'll be good to see them start. And the thing is, if we keep starting, then they'll hopefully settle in more. You've just got to give them time to gel, ain't you, really?
Yes. My concern is, Ollie, is that how, like you mentioned, you're happy with 3 months.
Yeah.
How long do you give these players to gel is my only concern. That's sort of where I'm at, is if you're happy with 3 months, we referenced it when we recorded on Tuesday night, didn't we, is that obviously Burton were like rock bottom until pretty much February, and then they just went on this insane run. Mm. I don't see these players, partly through injury and concerns with that and being able to see out like 10 games on the bounce without needing to rotate, being able to get it over the line. If it got to February, we were in a terrible position. Let's say the next 5 games, how many points do you think is a reasonable amount to have picked up for the next 5 games, considering what, with 6 games or only on 1 point?
Yeah, I mean, it is tricky to say. Obviously, we're literally on 1 point, so anything, even a couple of draws or just some sort of improvement would be nice to see. I think as long as we're making progress, that's the main thing that matters.
Of the players who have been involved so far, so let's forget about the new signings and maybe even the ones who've been here since last year. Are there any you still hold out hope for that will come good?
It's tricky.
I know I've got one, and it's Sir Kean Hayes.
Yeah, he's always putting in a shift. To be fair, he always puts in 100%, and he, you know, when he came on, I forgot what game it was, but he came on a game and he just changed the game a lot.
Yeah, well, I think Bradford.
Let me in here, Harry. No, it was Accrington. Okay. It was League Two Accrington.
Oh, yeah, Accrington.
Kean Hayes looked good against. And then he scuffed one over the line against Bradford. Like, let's not make out as if he's a world beater here. Come on, let's not be silly now.
There you go, Ollie, if you got something to say. Sorry.
No, I mean, it's tricky. I think, again, like players like Archie Collins, they've been good. It's hard to really look at the team and think what exactly is going wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, I think the main issue for us has been a lack of a quality striker. I think Brad had potential to be really good, but except for Cardiff, where he was excellent, I don't think he, frankly, worked hard enough or smartly enough. Really, really just unsmart against Barnsley at home, I think, that Tuesday night. And with someone like Harry Leonard or Morgan coming in now, I think we will be a different animal, one might say.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I think just getting that striker in will make a big...
I'm laughing at Ashley, not you, Ollie.
we just seem to be lacking like that finishing... Like sometimes we have a few good build-ups and then it's just that finishing product we just don't really have. So, like I say, these new attacking players, hopefully they'll be able to just score some goals.
Well, you briefly mentioned Archie Collins there. Obviously, he's refused a new deal now. I was semi-surprised not to see him go in the window just gone. What are your thoughts on him and obviously his continued career at Peterborough United?
I mean, it's tricky because I weren't sure. I don't know if he wanted the move. I think he did want the move. But then, I don't know. I think this season, it'll probably go at the end of the season. But I think it's key if we can keep on. Like, if we can keep these good players that have been at the club. Because it's no good just getting a whole team of, like, new players every season. We need to keep these old players. Otherwise, we're just not going to get anywhere. So, no, it is good that we're keeping him.
Do you think that Collins is the last of last season's disappointment? I know that's really harsh on Archie Collins because obviously he was an integral part of the season before. But do you not think that actually he is the last piece of a puzzle from last season where realistically we weren't good enough? And actually, let's say Keller, Woods, Garbutt by the end of the season could be our midfield three?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, I think even last season he was good most of the time. So look, if we can hold on to him for this season, and then if new players make the team and they're better than him, then that's that.
I agree on that, by the way, because at this point in January, what will we get for him? I genuinely think no one will come in for more than 300k at absolute maximum, because they're going to get him in 6 months anyway. And any club going for him knows there was no interest this summer, just gone. So it's not like they're going to be in a big dog fight. Yeah, and I agree with you. I would be keeping Collins in this team. Stability, right? And also, I do think as well, Collins and now Kyoso were part of a side that finished fourth. There's just no way I can see them being involved in the team that sinks like a... Well, actually, no, I say that. I predicted us to be relegated. And that I made that prediction before we signed like the 5-7 new players we did in the last 2 weeks. Right. But I'm feeling good about Collins. Have you thought about Garbutt? Personally, I think he's looked a cut above, though, not to compare to Collins specifically, but essentially against everyone, really. I thought he, intelligence-wise, positioning-wise, knowing when to stop and when to go, I think he's looked very good so far.
Yeah, no, I do think he's looked solid. Like, yeah, I mean, he's been good.
Yeah, it's a bit of a closed question, isn't it?
Ollie, tomorrow, are you expecting some changes from even last week? Obviously, we know that, I don't know if you've listened to Fergie's interview, if you've been at work this afternoon, but it seems pretty nailed on that we're going to see some of the new guys, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be good to see him. To be honest, I'm not expecting too much, because they've very recently signed for the club. So I'm not expecting too much. I mean, in my opinion, as long as we see a good performance, the lads are putting 100%. And even if we lose us, it is what it is. I just want to see 100% from all the players.
Ollie, that does link us nicely to a score prediction. Obviously, you said that you're not too bothered as long as we have a good performance. You've got to give one. Well, tell me what it is. And if you do think that Posh are going to score, you've got to tell me that first goal scorer as well.
I'm not going to lie. I can't say. I think 2-0 loss, unfortunately.
I don't think that's too far from it. No. So now that we've got that all out of the way, you are obviously, I wanted you to come on because I want you to be able to share your story and what you guys are doing as part of the Blue Section. So it's essentially, the floor's yours. Speak away.
Pretty much. It's fairly simple, really. We're a group of fans at the minute, a small group. So ages range from, I don't know, 16 to late 20s. Like, it's a very mixed group. And it's just all about making the atmosphere better. We've already got a very close relationship with the club. We've had a couple of meetings, things like that. And yeah, we're just trying to improve the atmosphere, really.
Obviously, you've brought the drum to the front of the London Road End, haven't you? And you're making a big push for Wickham, that you're going to be at the front of the GH for that game in E3, isn't it? So if you could say anything to sort of promote to people that maybe... We know what Posh fans are like. Posh fans don't like change at the best of times. And having you guys with your big drum at the front, personally, I think it's been great. It's great to hear that you can actually hear it rather than it be muffled out. What would you say to those people that, let's not say haters, because that's not probably fair, but those that maybe don't understand what you're trying to do?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so previous seasons have been at the back of London Road. We've not ever really had a group as such. We've sort of just sat wherever the drum's been at the back. So this season, we've sort of come together as a group. We've come to the front, so it's out at the back. The drum's out the way, and like you say, around the ground, you can't hear it when it's at the back. So at the front, we're seen. It can be heard from other stands or in the ground. And then about Wickham, so normally everyone's bunched up at the end of the GH stand, and we just feel like we step away from the away fans. We'll go in E3 and we'll make the atmosphere in there.
No, I'm fully with you on that. I think that what you, obviously we spoke, didn't we, before the game on Tuesday, and there's a clear difference in the ones that want to go into E0 and E1 and sort of jump around and cause chaos and goad away fans, which, look, there's a place for that in football. Everybody does it as an away fan, don't they? Everybody will do it as part of that. But I think that what's important is that people understand that that's not the type of thing that you're interested in, and you are genuinely just interested in improving the atmosphere, giving everybody a better time as well. And obviously, I know that you mentioned that you've got some flags and stuff that you're going to potentially wave around. And not that it's not like the ultra culture. Yeah. That was weird to say, but it's more like just making sure that everybody knows, right, if you really want to be part of this, let's call it a movement. Yeah. I think that's probably the right thing to do, that's where you're at in the London Road End, or you're in the GH stand. Ollie, you're on socials, right, with Blue Section, aren't you? Do you want to just spell out what the socials are for that, if you've got them nearby?
Our Instagram is Borough Blue Section, and I'm pretty sure Twitter is the same thing. Just going back on what you said, so we're going bottom of E3 for the Wiccan game. Literally anyone that's interested in making an atmosphere is fully welcome down there. Like, just come down, meet everyone. It's good. You know, it's all, at the end of the day, the club's a big family. So just come down, meet everyone. What I would always say, so people are very quick to criticise. Like, after a game, they'll go online, they'll put their little message out. If anyone has any problems, like, what they don't like, what they think could improve, just speak to us, because we'll always, like, it's not going to be, oh, it's our way and our way only. We'll always adapt to other people. So if people are unsure, we can always change things and, adapt to it.
Take it from us, Ollie. When you start up anything, the criticism is the most intense at the beginning. And your attitude is exactly right, that, you know, as long as some of the feedback's constructive, you can learn from that, grow from it.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, wicked, Ollie. I think they were all good there. Is there anything else that you wanted to add in just before I
No, not really. Just like I say, Wiccan game, let's get it going. Everyone down at bottom of E3, and
I can't.
You convinced me.
Can't.
I decided I'm going to do it. I'm going to be in there.
Are you, Harry? Because if you are, I will be there no matter what.
This is Ashley has a season ticket in the main stand as well, so you're going to transfer to the GH for this.
Can I buy a megaphone, and can I be that guy that just doesn't watch the football and just shouts on a megaphone for 90 minutes? Can I be that guy, or is that allowed?
Yeah, go for it. You have to ask Chris.
yeah, I will have to ask Chris.
Actually, if you're holding a megaphone, how are you going to chuck me on the pitch when we score? That's the question.
If.
Well, yeah, exactly, Ollie. Yeah, that might be settling on where my prediction is for the Wiccan game, depending on how we go tomorrow. Might be whether we actually manage to score a goal, and it might just be 90 minutes of me screaming at Abraham Otto, maybe down a megaphone, telling him that he's absolutely diabolical.
I'm confident for Wiccan. I don't know. I feel like at home it's just different, and if we can get the atmosphere going, it makes a massive difference.
It does. Look, Lodz is already there. I think that he. Ooh, I don't know. I probably shouldn't say exactly what seat he's in, because somebody might just ring up and cancel it, which would be quite funny. That'd be something I'd do. But he's in E3. I know that he's there. But like I say, if Harry's there, I'm there. I'm going to have to maybe let a few people down and say that I'm not going to be sitting with them. But that's fine. But thank you again, Ollie. Thanks for joining us tonight. And well, I certainly am looking forward to seeing what you guys do at Wickham. Obviously, you've shown me the pictures of what you've got and stuff, and I think it's exciting. Even though the football's maybe not so good on the pitch, it's an exciting time to sort of be involved in the next sort of phase of Peterborough United support, ultimately, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you again. Thanks, Ollie.
Thanks for having me on. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Nice. I'm genuinely looking forward to that.
I think it is. Am I? Yeah, no, I am. No, I am going to come. Yeah, no, I will be there, and I will be on the front row. That's where I'll be. But I think that it's prediction time. Next Level Barbell Club predictions. Obviously, today we announced that Andrew King and Ian Mills were our August winners. I think it was 16 points that they got, which is pretty good going.
Yeah, that is seriously good going. Five points for getting everything right to get... So the maximum would have been, there were seven games, weren't there? Or were there six games? No, there were seven games.
Eight games?
Ooh, six league games. Stanley.
Let me go to
EFL was September. EFL was September.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, EFL
seven, then September. Seven. So 35, was it 35? Yeah, 35.
Yeah, 35 maximum points. Bearing in mind how difficult it is to predict a first goal scorer. Yeah, 16 points is unbelievable. I'm willing to bet that will be the highest or close to the highest we'll get in a single month, I think, from here.
Yeah, I think so. And what was actually quite funny to see is looking back at the Exeter predictions, there was only like five people that even managed to get points because literally all 240 other people that were part of the predictions league predicted that Potter were going to win. And I've got a sneaky suspicion that it's going to be a flip of that tomorrow. What I'm going to do quickly now for everybody that's watching on YouTube, I'm going to pull up the predictions that we've got from the hosts. I'll run through them. Harry, you can do yours. So I have gone with a 1-0 Posh win. And after watching the highlights of the Huddersfield goalkeepers, I think that Matthew Garbett's going to score a screamer from 25 yards. Charlie's matched me with 1-0. Clyde Lolos. Del has done what Del does best and has gone for a 2-2. It will come in eventually with Harry Leonard.
The stopped clock is right twice a day with Del, or twice a season, I'm betting. Yeah, I've got 2-1 Huddersfield. I mean, I think it's going to be a spirited performance. I think it'll be a lot better than perhaps Wigan was for those of us who were there. I think it'll be a darn sight better than that, but it's still going to feel the same at the end because we're walking away with nothing, in my opinion.
Yeah, John and Lods and Max all the same way. John with a 3-0, no Posh goal scorer. Lods 2-0, no Posh goal scorer. And Max with 2-1. Loss as well, Harry Leonard. So, I mean, fingers crossed that Harry Leonard does get a goal tomorrow. But
yeah,
I mean, also for my prediction, for being selfish, I'd rather it just be a Garbett show.
I think he'll be excellent. It's so hard to say how this goes with all these new players, but I said it to Ollie there. There's a version of this season where it is Matt Garbett looking around at the cloggers around him and just thinking, what have I done coming here? I'm hoping that is not the case. And he's able to pull them up, or actually it turns out some of them are genuinely really pretty good. And to be honest, I think that's the more likely thing from here. With, you know, two guys involved in the League One promotion from Wrexham, Leonard's had championship experience, only has limited appearances because of a back injury. I'm feeling a lot better, even if I don't think the corner's getting turned tomorrow.
Yeah. What lineup are you going for tomorrow, Harry? If let's make assumptions that everyone's available. Other than the obvious ones, of course, like Hughes and...
Yeah, sure. What I think Fergie will do is go 5-3-2, and I think that will be unwise. I think he should just stick to what he believes in, which is either a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3. It's more or less the same. But I think he'll go 5-3-2. I would guess it will be Lees, Nevitt, and O'Connor. I think left back will probably be Mills, and Mendy will come on. And Kyoto will start. And then in the middle, I think it will be Collins, Garbett, and it's tough to say. I'm inclined to go Lolos over Keller. And then it will be Leonard and Lindgren up top. We'll see how that works out. And I'd expect to see Morgan in relief. I'd expect to see Mendy in relief. And it wouldn't surprise me if we are losing, that we then see Otto and Hayes come on to do what they do, which is try and get something out of the game.
The only man you didn't mention there, Harry, I think, is Carl Johnston. Are you taking him out of your team completely? Bench, I assume.
Yeah, I would think he'd be benched, just because in a system like this, I'd be. So firstly, is he going up against Kyoso? I think the answer is fair to say that no, he's not going to take the right wing back spot off Kyoso. And then you ask yourself, after the Exeter performance, should he be at centre-back? Probably not. I feel very sorry for him. I also do think that this 5-3-2 will be short-lived. I give it till the end of the month before we're back in a four-back formation. And I think we'll look a lot better for it.
Yeah, Declan has just mentioned, are there no concerns that these players aren't going to gel straight away, bringing that many in, expecting them to click? I think that's the point that Ollie's made, and you're the same, aren't you, Harry, is that actually these players probably do now need time, which also does that afford the manager more time? Because like, it's not gonna happen tomorrow at Huddersfield, is it, potentially? I'd absolutely love it if all of the new signings that we brought in on deadline day and Bass could come in and make starts and just hit the ground running. But
I didn't even mention goalkeeper. It'll be Bass, right? Is that confirmed that Bass is back? I don't know.
Fergie said that he is. I'm pretty sure. It'll be interesting. My only hope with Bass is that we haven't rushed him back too soon from this injury. I know that he's been given the all clear, but I'm pretty sure that Lods went through his injuries and it's always this foot that's been a problem for him. I just hope that we've let it settle and it's not going to be a problem going forwards.
To his credit, on the whole, Reyes has been a completely serviceable backup. So Reyes hasn't got any injury concerns, has he?
He's in Brazil, I think, Harry. He was on the bench last night for Chile against Brazil. So he'll do well to get back to Huddersfield. Yeah, so I think the only other options, obviously, we have Blackmore midweek, Bilo, and then Bastian Smith. But Bastian Smith's been the sub, so I would expect him to be the sub. I don't think that it's going to be Bilo or Blackmore on the bench, and I don't think either of those will travel. So here we go. Lods is pulling in the stats. O'Connor and Mendy on the left side of the defence. They've played 40 games together in all competitions and only lost 5 times. This is a man that fills me with confidence with stats like this.
Lods should have never a stats account, if you ask me. I think he'd be well suited for that.
And I would like to also point out, just to be slightly negative, because you can't go into a game like Huddersfield expecting that you're going to win, that they may have played 40 games together, but they've never played 40 for a game together for Peterborough United. So that, yeah, Declan Moody, that is exactly what I'm trying to get out there.
About to be six times. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Before we wrap up, let's get. Oh, interesting. Declan Moody earlier was, before we'd even started, was at the football. Here we go. Clearly, Ryan has just completely negated any positivity that he had. Ben says that if Fergie chooses Otto tomorrow, you know he's given up.
Honestly, Ben, I think Fergie genuinely believes in Otto. And there's an argument I don't agree with, but there's an argument that Otto got 22 goal contributions last season, and that on its own should be enough to know there's a chance of him influencing a game in some way. I do think that Fergie still believes in Otto. I'd be surprised to see him out of the squad for tomorrow. I don't think he'll start, but I'd be surprised to see him out.
Yeah, I just think he doesn't fit. If we're going to play the five, he doesn't fit that system, does he? So, I don't think he's going to start. Carl Kirk thinks that, Joe Taylor vengeance is coming tomorrow. That would be a disaster, I think. Where are we? We had some... Yeah, Mike says, who is a Huddersfield fan, says that it's going to be a tough game tomorrow. Yeah, home form. But there was one where it was the Bradford fan.
You've left off his question there. His question was, what do we think of O'Connor and Mendy? As signings, yeah, absolutely, all for it. And also, we've had success with defensive loan signings in the past. I mean, Kyoso, got to remind myself, was Callum Elder on loan? I think he must have been, given how short he was here. So. But honestly. Oh, and he wasn't good for us, but he was obviously a good player. Oh, no, I've forgotten his name. He went to Plymouth after us.
Jesus.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Barley Mumba.
So
scored in his debut, didn't he?
Yeah. The thing is, for Posh, we as our... There's probably more detail than you need, the Huddersfield fan who asked the question. But to a certain extent, we willfully ignore good options because of how resistant we are, generally speaking, to the loan market. Like, this is rare. For us to have 5 loanees in the door is In fact, it might even be the first time in the McCanty era it's happened in one go, I think, or close to it, right? It's usually
give me,
one
give
or
me
two.
Lods, get the answer, please. I'm on my knees.
And I appreciate why, because you want the value to be able to sell on yourself. But honestly, the loan market has regularly been good for us. A few stinkers here and there, but yeah, I'm feeling good about both of them.
I love Neil. Neil is a chicken, and he comes in every week and he fills me with optimism, saying that when a team is a massive favourite, don't rule out the unthinkable, which in this case would be a posh 1-0 win. I think back to Wembley, which was the last game that we won competitively. We were massive underdogs there. I even think back, like I mentioned earlier, I think back to the last time that we went to Huddersfield, where we were on this absolute horrendous rot, and it just came together, didn't it? And it worked. And all of a sudden, he who shall not be named, not my captain, scored the goal, and then we just held out, didn't we? It's just whether we've got that holdout in us for, let's say, 45 minutes to 60 minutes.
If there's one thing as well, that without going to Football Manager on everyone, very rarely do I see teams do well against the back three with one striker up top. It's genuinely really hard to do. They just tend to get isolated, and the wingers are usually busy dealing with the wing backs. So you've got plenty of options with the three centre-backs to deal with the one man up top who's maybe being supported by an attacking mid. We maybe will be lucky stylistically. It may be lucky is the wrong word. Maybe it'll be tactical genius from Fergie playing a back three against Huddersfield.
Jed Steer's come in the comments.
Yeah, brilliant. Jed Steer. I would love it if it were Jed, but... surely not.
Look, goalkeepers union and that. Goalkeepers love to back goalkeepers.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. A few other notable mentions. Nathaniel Ogbete, he was good.
Katongo, yeah, exactly. As well.
He was good in the first year, but not so much in the second year.
Blame his hamstring. He would have been a good player were it not for him being constantly terrified of snapping that thing. Absolute spaghetti.
Followed up that Bass has never won in a Peterborough United shirt. Oh, well, I hope he's... Do you know what? I hope he has a great debut performance tomorrow if he does start. And what better way than a clean sheet? I can't do what we did last season. I can't go until the middle of January before we get a clean sheet. That is just not on. And with
no, you can.
No, I can't. Oh, and now Lods is coming in saying that Bass has never played with O'Connor or Mendy either.
Brilliant. I've never played with O'Connor or Mendy.
I wouldn't want to play with either at the moment in this Peterborough United team. It's a recipe for disaster. I hope that they can come in. Look, like Fergie said in his interview today, he said that winning breeds more winning. And right now, this team doesn't know how to win. And even if O'Connor hasn't played loads of games in the last year for Wrexham, or Mendy hasn't played loads of games, I think that John said that it's only one start last season for Wrexham. They're still in that environment, aren't they? And they don't know how to lose. Like, you think about even Birmingham, not to the same sort of extent, but you saw what it meant to them to lose at Wembley. They kicked off, didn't they? Then I think that they lost a league game this year, and they just started kicking off because they were so unhappy with losing. We need some of that fight, I think, at the moment, and some of that. Well, I know that there was a comment that Lolos said it after the Wigan game, or potentially at half time of the Wigan game, and said that he's not come here to lose, he's come to win. And actually having some of these characters that aren't afraid to maybe offend people is only going to be a positive for Peterborough United. That's sort of where I'm at the moment, and it's just a case of that. Tuesday night was heated, and I can't wait until 4:45 p.m. tomorrow to be tweeting Fergie in, because he's put on an absolute masterclass, and all of these players have put on a masterclass for him and the fans as well.
I think there might be. I'm inclined to think that there's going to be a bit more relaxation in the mentality among some players. I think. And I don't know any of them personally, right? But if I had to guess based on the way they look, their body language, I think Hayes cares a lot, as in is gets stressed about not performing well. I think JD gets stressed about losing or being a goal down. I think it was against Barnsley, and when Akagbi's own goal went in, and bearing in mind we're only 1-0 down and we played well for the whole half, he's just got his head in his hands, and the players coming in, whether they're permanent or not, I'd like to think, if anything, caring a little bit less than that might actually help a bit. The two Wrexham players, that they're not going to get as psychologically stressed out about being 1-0 down away at Huddersfield. They'll probably just keep playing their game. And I feel good about quite a few of them in that regard, to be honest.
No, I agree. I think that we're probably good to wrap it up there. Thank you to everybody that has joined us this evening. I am not at the game tomorrow because I took a gamble and I've got tickets to watch England at Aston Villa, Harry's second team. So I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully it's a, do you know what? I'm going to back the posh double and England double tomorrow. I'm going to put some money on it because I won't be there, which means that all of these players will play well and I won't be able to celebrate it properly. That's where I'm at.
I will be there. It's my second ever trip to Huddersfield. I saw us draw 2-2 in 2013. If I remember rightly, I want to say Mendes, Lang and Gale. Someone can fact check me on that. Maybe it'll be Lods. I can't wait. I think I've only missed Exeter so far this season in the league. So looking forward to get back into it. Need some football.
Yeah, I hope that Thomas Tuchel's England army come and absolutely spank Andorra. And as I'm just getting into the ground, I'm seeing that. I'm ready. That Fergie tweet is lined up. It's ready. It's going to happen tomorrow. I'm confident.
You know what? Before we go, Ashley, I was about to look at the odds of a posh win and Andorra win, but my phone has died. So you're in luck. You don't have to sit through that. We can finish.
and I'm not finding it either, although you've just tempted me to have a little flutter on that as well. Anyway,
up the poshcast.